Well, hey, Open Arms Church, it is so good to be with you today online, and I'm excited for all God is going to do in your church, in your life, and in your heart in this season. I love your church. Honestly, Open Arms has impacted my life so much, and your pastors, Sean and Jill, have encouraged me, have blessed me. Debs and I wouldn't be where we are today if it wasn't for Sean and Jill, and PJ and Liz, and we believe God has great things ahead for your church. Sean is an incredible friend. He encourages me, he calls me. He's always building my faith and speaking life into Deborah and I. I wanna encourage you. God has great things for you today. He wants to speak into your lives and into your hearts, and I'm excited for all he wants to share and deposit in you today. We're gonna open up God's word. We're going to be talking about the church and how we see things differently in seasons and times of uncertainty. We're going to pray and believe that God is going to open up our hearts for all that he wants to do. So, Father God, I thank you for every person in the room, every person online. I thank you, Father God, that you see them, you know their name. Lord, you have a plan and a purpose for them. Lord, today there are no surprises with you. You foresee it all, you know it all, and you're in control of it all. I thank you that you're going to speak to us today in a supernatural way, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, wherever you are, amen. Let's go. Hey, when I was a kid, my parents used to say two words to me anytime I used to ask a question. I was a question asker, always asking, Mom, when are we going to get there? Dad, can I get this? Hey, Dad, what are we going to do today? Can I do this? Can I do that? And I always got a two-word response. It wasn't yes and it wasn't no. It was always these two words, we'll see. We'll see. I never knew what that meant. Well, what does that mean? We'll see. What does it mean? Is it yes? Is it no? Is it maybe? Here is the thing about me. Clarity is my love language. Clarity. Now, we often hear about the five love languages, you know, touch, quality time. Get rid of all them. Clarity is my love language. I love to know what is going on. I love to know when it's happening. I love to know what my day looks like. I am a planner. There are some wives, they're looking at their husbands, they're saying, hey, I told you so. That's the thing. Clarity is the ability to see things clearly. In times of uncertainty, it's hard to see. It's hard to see things clearly. This very weekend, I was meant to be in Ireland. Very close friends of ours asked Debs and I, hey, will you do our wedding? 5 months ago, I remember having a conversation, and he called me, he said, hey, the pandemic is happening. I don't know if you've heard of this thing called COVID-19, but hey, I just want to make sure, are you good? And I remember responding to him on the phone about the wedding saying, hey, bro, it's 5 months away. It'll all be good. Everything will be back to normal. I don't know if anybody online said that, but I was saying that. 5 months later, no, not normal. I think for the first time in my life, I have been so unsure of what the future looks like. Everything is uncertain. We're in lockdown 1 week, we're out of lockdown the other. Cases are high, cases are low. Is the government saying this? Are they saying that? What is going on? Listen, here's the one thing I want to get across to you today. If you get this and you get nothing else, this is the key. As Christians, in a time of uncertainty, we seek clarity and not sympathy. I'm going to say that again. In times of uncertainty, as Christians, we see clarity from God and not sympathy. Here's the thing, is that God wants his church to see clearly. He wants his church to see clearer than ever, especially when there are things that are going on that are very uncertain. Now you might say, well, it's completely uncertain. Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes into the room, baptizes the believers in the power of the Holy Spirit. And Acts, in the early Christian church, is a whole chapter, basically, of the church seeing things clearly and seeing things differently. Acts chapter 8, Philip is on the road and he meets the Ethiopian eunuch, and the Ethiopian eunuch says, hey, how can I understand unless somebody shows me, unless somebody guides me? He starts to see things differently. Acts chapter 9, Paul is on the road to Damascus. He is going to take out all the Christians, and God shows up. He's blinded, in his physical eyes, but his spiritual eyes are opened that Jesus is the Messiah. Acts chapter 10, Peter receives a dream. God reveals and shows him that everybody, regardless of Jew or Gentile, creed or color, their disposition, their race, is welcomed into the kingdom of God. It shows us that as Christians, we see the oppressed, we see the marginalized differently. Acts chapter 11, there's a guy called Agabus. I think that's right. Aga and bus. Aga bus. You know the aga, the old stove when, you know, you went to your granny's house. Anyway, aga and bus together. Agabus gets a prophecy. He receives a prophecy, Acts chapter 11. You can go check it out. And he foresees that there will be a famine that will infect the whole Roman world. The church sees things differently. They mobilize, they act. And in times of uncertainty, God has always allowed his people to see things clearly. In times of uncertainty, he wants to show us what his plan and his purpose is for our lives. In April, at the start of all of this, it was April this year, Easter time, it seems like a distant, a long time ago. It seems like a different world. Pre-apocalypse, you could call it. Anyway, doesn't matter. We were watching Easter, and Andre Bocelli on BBC was singing a song in the midst of the Milan Dome. The streets were empty, completely clear. And there was pictures of cities all over the world that were completely isolated, completely bare, no people anywhere. And Andrea Bocelli, the Italian singer, starts to sing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. The words that he actually sang at 1 minute 28 seconds were these: I once was blind, but now I see. The Holy Spirit very simply spoke into my spirit, Daniel, in this season, you are going to see things differently. You're going to see things clearly. You're not going to see the way the world sees. You're going to see the way I see. You're going to see how I see things. The Bible is a book of clarity for your life. God gives us promises. He gives us clear instructions. He gives us clear ways of seeing how he does things. Hey, with everything that's going on, we know it's not a surprise to God, but it can be hard in uncertainty to see clearly. The Bible gives us the clarity. It gives us the ability to see through the fog, to see through the mist of life, to see through all of the noise, all of the things, and have conviction about certain things that God wants to do in our lives. I'm grateful that Jesus came so that in times of uncertainty, you and I, wherever you are, you can see clearly. You can see clearly. I want to talk to you today about a few things we can see differently as Christians. A few ways in this season of uncertainty, how God's word can actually help us, set us up to see what maybe the enemy wants to use, maybe what's going on around us, to see it clearly for what it is, to see the things that happen to us as opportunities, to see what God is doing as the possibility that he wants to move us forward in our journey and in our lives. Here's the beautiful thing, is that God wants to change your perspective in this season. A couple of things I want to help you with today is number one, that when we know Jesus, when we are part of the body of Christ, when we have his perspective on our lives, we see fear as fuel. Oh, fear as fuel. Well, what do you mean? Well, let me put it like this. We see fear a little bit differently. Fear is an emotion. It comes on us when there is a daunting task. It comes on us in a season of uncertainty. A lot of my life, I have looked at fear and I've looked at faith, and I've always thought it's a choice between fear and a choice between faith. I've got to choose one or choose the other. I used to try to choose between fear and faith, and I'd muster up enough faith. But I've started to realize is that if I'm going to move forward in my life, it does not mean that fear won't be there. In fact, in times that I am moving forward, it's often when I feel most afraid. Feeling the fear and acting in faith is actually a healthy thing. Look at scripture. We look at Luke 8, the woman with the issue of blood. She pushes through the crowd. She tries to get to Jesus and she touches the hem of his garment. It says this, that when she knew that she could no longer go unnoticed, she came to Jesus trembling, trembling. She had felt fear, but she knew that an act of faith would determine her future over the fear that she was feeling. Peter jumps out of a boat, sees Jesus in the water, starts walking, and then suddenly gets afraid, starts to sink. Key word is that he got afraid. But when he saw the strength of the waves, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Incredible thing is that Peter actually got out of the boat. You know, God wants to use the things that make us afraid as fuel for our lives. You know, this season, if I'm being honest, this season of the coronavirus, economic uncertainty, things going on all over the world, if ever there was a time I was afraid, it's this season. This season has scared the life out of me. There's things I'm worried about that I never thought I'd be worried about. You know what? I'm still going to move forward. I'm still going to believe that God has great things for my future. I'm going to feel the fear, and I'm going to do it anyway. Because every miracle, there were people who were afraid in the New Testament, the Old Testament, but God used their lives to keep pushing forward. You know, when you feel fear, you can say, "God, I shouldn't be feeling fear." Hey, feel the fear, do it anyway. God has great things ahead of you. He wants to use that fear to fuel your faith, to believe that he can do incredible things, even in the midst of uncertainty, even in the midst of fear, and even in the midst of pain. Point number two is, as a Christian, I see the daily grind over the finish line. The daily grind over the finish line. I don't know about you, but for me, the finish line may be a dream. It may be a dream or a promise that God has placed in my life. What are you looking forward to in this season? What are you believing God for? Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's having a baby. Maybe it's overcoming a sickness. What's the finish line that you're saying, "God, if I could get there, if you could do that for me, I would just be so happy." It would be the finish line. Maybe it's getting a mortgage, getting enough money to get rent together, to get into a house. What is the finish line? Maybe it's a relationship. I don't know what it is for you. But here's what I've realized is that sometimes the enemy can turn my dreams into doubts. He can turn them into doubts. "Oh, is that going to happen? That's what I was believing for." And suddenly I start, you know, thinking, "Oh, maybe I shouldn't dream so big." A few months ago, I did a marathon, a 42-kilometer marathon. I had to figure out a way to work that story into this message, because that's a pretty big deal. I'm only joking. But hey, here's why we did it. We did it to feed some families, and it was incredible. But I learned a lot doing a marathon. A friend texted me the night before the marathon. I said, "Have you got any advice?" He's run like 7 marathons. And he said, "Hey, don't think of it as 42 kilometers. Think of it as 42 1 kilometers. And I was like, "What does that mean?" He was like, "Just take each kilometer as it comes. At kilometer 10, if you're looking at kilometer 42, it's going to seem so far away. But just focus on the kilometer that you're doing." That's a biblical principle right there. Matthew 6, verse 33. Jesus says this: "Hey, don't worry about tomorrow. Just focus on today. Focus on what God has placed in your life today. Focus on the daily grind." I love that word. It sometimes sounds negative, but the daily grind is actually focusing on what God has placed in your hand right now. I know what God has placed in my hand today. He's placed this moment, and I'm believing that God will use it in your life. What is God wanting to do in your life? We can be so focused, "Well, one day I'm going to do that." And that's incredible to have those dreams, but focus on the present. Don't worry too much about tomorrow. If you utilize what God has placed in your hand, even in this season of uncertainty, He will fulfill His plan to completion in your life. The daily grind, praying and asking God to open doors, open your eyes, show you how you can be all that He has called you to be. The Word of God. I'm going to get into the Word of God today. I'm not going to get away from the basics, the standard things that I know are going to build my faith. What are the things in your life that you can control? What has God placed in your hand? Who is it that you can meet a need to? Who is it that you can encourage? God wants you to focus on today. He's got a plan for your life. He's got a purpose, and He wants to outwork it right now in the present, saying, "God, whatever I can do today, I'm building my faith for all that you have called me to." Hey, when we're Christians, number three, I see obstacles as opportunities. Wherever you are today, there's obstacles in our lives. There's things that the enemy or things that we have experienced that want to stop us from getting what God has given us. There's things in our mindsets, in our mentalities. There's hurts in our past or in our present. There's offense that maybe allowed us to become offended. There's obstacles that are maybe hindering us from what we believe God has called us to do. I want to tell you today that God uses obstacles in your life, whatever it is. Maybe you're in a room right now and you're sitting here watching and you're saying, yeah, there's obstacles. There's things that I'm worried about. There's doubts that I have. There's certain scenarios, certain relationships that just aren't working out. God wants to use those obstacles to bring and show the power of God in your life today. Luke chapter 4 is a significant passage in Jesus's ministry. The NIV tells us in Luke 4 that Jesus is rejected in his hometown. In the very same passage in the NSV, it says this, that Jesus begins his ministry. Two different passages, two different perspectives. It's absolutely incredible. We can see the rejection that's going on in our lives, or we can see the obstacles that are against us as the birthing place or the starting point for what God wants to do in our lives. Here's the thing, is that Jesus didn't just let the rejection of his hometown where they threw him out keep him back. He said, you know what, I'm going to keep moving forward. I'm going to walk straight through it. I'm going to grit it out, and I'm going to see God do incredible things. When we see our obstacles as opportunities, that's when we overcome. Every single person watching today, God has called you to be an overcomer. In seasons of uncertainty, God wants you to overcome what was meant to hinder you, what was meant to knock your confidence, what was meant to take you out. God wants to use your story. For all that was against you, God wants to bring supernatural direction, supernatural peace, but also supernatural confidence. Because when you're an overcomer, you can say, hey, look what God has done in my life. Look what was meant to hinder me, but look where his faithfulness has brought me. Jesus, even in his own hometown, was rejected. It did not stop there. He went on to influence and save the world, bringing salvation to many. There are many obstacles that hinder us as the church in Ireland. There's many things that can seem hard, seem difficult. But I believe God is asking and is wanting a courageous people. He's wanting a courageous church that say, yes, there's many things that may hinder us in reaching people for Jesus, but we are going to overcome these obstacles. We are going to see God do incredible things in this nation. We're not going to look at statistics. We're not going to look at mindsets. We're going to see them, but we're going to see what God wants to do. We're going to see with his perspective from north, south, east, and west, in Leinster, Connacht, Munster, and Ulster. He is going to move and he is going to do incredible things. And when we align ourselves to his perspective, we see things differently. Finally, I want to share to you today that as Christians, we see fear as fuel. We see the daily grind over the finish line. We see obstacles as opportunities. And number four, very simply, we see pain as the process. Pain is the process. Well, Daniel, what do you mean by that? I want to tell you today that anything incredible that God wants to do in your life, anything that God wants to birth in your life involves pain. Your pain is used for God's glory. The things that we feel are hard in this season, God wants to birth something fresh and new in us. Isaiah 66 verse 9, it says this, in the same way, I will not cause pain without allowing something new to be born, says the Lord. This is Isaiah speaking, God speaking to Isaiah, to the people of Israel. Something new is always formed in seasons of pain. Birth pains. Birth pains are real. In this season, God wants to birth something in you. If there is pain in your life, God wants to birth something new. He has a call and a plan on your life and for your life, and he wants to fulfill it in Jesus' name. He has plans for you. He has purposes for your life. Recently, I have been on more online Zoom calls than ever before. So many. Been online doing this, online doing that, and sometimes I forget to turn on my microphone. I start talking and halfway through I'll realize, or somebody will say to me, you're muted. It's the thing that we hear at the moment. Hey, you're muted, you can't talk. That's what seasons of uncertainty want to do. They want to mute our voice, mute our dreams, mute our confidence. Here is the beautiful thing, is that pain and uncertainty would seek to tell us it's over. They would seek to tell us, hey, the dream is dead. Hey, for all of God's promises are yes and amen, but some of them are not attainable for you. Maybe that's what pain is telling you. But here's the thing. This season is one where God wants to birth dreams in you. He wants to birth a call in your life. He wants to birth plans and purposes in your life. And when you see pain as a process, you'll be saying to God, God, help me to see the purpose of the pain that's around me. Help me to see the purpose of the things that are going on in my life. Your pain does not define you, but it does shape you. God wants to shape you in this season for all God has for your future. He wants to develop you. He wants to form you, even in seasons of uncertainty. When a seed is planted in the ground, it's planted under soil, it's dark, it's wet, it's cold down there, and the seed actually has to die in order for something to flourish. God wants things to flourish in your life. He's got plans and purposes for you. He's got a life full of joy, full of purpose, and full of life. In seasons of uncertainty, He wants to use you as a voice of hope, to see things differently. I believe in many households and many families, when you look at things, you'll see them differently to way your friends or your family do. People will be like, this guy's mad, this guy's crazy. You've got hope, you've got life, you've got peace worth sharing. You've got a perspective that God wants to use. He's got hope for you today. He's got life for you today. And in seasons of uncertainty, you can see clearly through the fog. We're going to pray, and I'm going to pray for you. If you're here and you'd say, yep, this has been a season of uncertainty, I'd love to pray for you. I'd love to ask God to show you clearly what He has for your life. If that's you, wherever you are, even if it's in your room, on your own, in front of your laptop, just raise up your hand. Just a sign that God is working, that you're saying, God, I want that. I'm going to pray that God would help you to see the way He sees. So Father God, over every hand, over every life that has been raised to say, God, help me to see things the way You see them. Father God, I pray that You would use this season of uncertainty, this season of pain, and I pray that You would use it for Your glory. I pray that You would develop and do deep things in the hearts and lives of Open Arms Church, of Your people. Father God, I thank You that You've great plans for them, great purposes for them. And I pray right now in the midst of a season of uncertainty that You would show them what You have called them to, that You would bring encouragement, that You would bring life, that You would bring hope into the midst of their situation. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Next group of people that I would love to pray for is, maybe you're here and you just say, hey, I don't know Jesus. I don't have a relationship with Him. Well, the whole reason we do this is so that we can encounter Jesus, so that we can have a relationship with Him. I want to encourage you today. God sent His Son Jesus to die for you, to give His life for you. There is hope today. Wherever you're watching, He has a plan and a purpose for your life. He has a purpose that He wants to work through your life, but He wants relationship with you. If you're here today and you'd say, I'd love to give my life to Jesus, we'd love to pray this prayer with you. You can say these words after me. Dear Lord Jesus, thank You for dying on the cross. Thank You for giving Your life. I repent from my sin and I turn to You. I ask You to be my Lord and my Savior. From this day forward, I follow You. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, we love you. What a great time to be with you today. We're excited for all God is going to do in your life, believing that you'll have an incredible week. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.